My mother opened the door in response to the eager knocking. Standing on the steps were three of my friends, Peter, Derek, and Herbert. I was in the kitchen, but I heard Peter ask my mum, "Is Morris coming out to play?" Grabbing my cap and blazer, I went charging down the hall, saving my mother the trouble of answering. Once the door was safely closed behind me, I wanted to know the reason for their excitement, as Herbert, who was the youngest of us, was jumping up and down, and Peter, the oldest of our little gang, had a very serious expression on his face. The story came out in a rush as they all started talking at once. "A German parachutist has landed at Middlebrook, and there are crowds of lads up there looking for him." We decided to look for reinforcements, but soon found that all our friends in the neighbourhood had already left to join in the hunt. As Herbert did not have a bike, he said that it would be unfair for us to take ours. So we set off on foot up the Chorley New Road. It was a very hot summer's day and we were soon limping, as our shoes were very much too small for us. This was very common in the war, as with clothes rationing, most families did not have enough coupons to keep up with growing children. And to this very day, I still have trouble with my feet. But on arriving at Middlebrook, all our aches and pains were soon forgotten. Between 200 and 300 boys were milling about the fields, without any apparent direction or leadership. Most were in groups of a dozen or so. Quite a number were in cub or scout uniforms. Peter was annoyed he had not thought of putting his uniform on, but some of the scouts were in the same troop as Peter, and they ran over to ask us if we wanted to join them in the hunt. We were eager to do so, and Peter, who despite forgetting his uniform, had appointed himself leader, he said we must have a confab. On meeting with only puzzled looks, he went on to explain that meant we had to decide on our plan of action. My first question was who has seen the German. It soon transpired that no one in our group had, so we decided on breaking up into pairs and going round asking if any of the lads in the other groups had. When we met up again, we found that no one had actually claimed to have seen the Hun, but some lads had uncovered the entrance to a land drain. This was a large sewer pipe, and they said that the parachutist was hiding in it. The bigger boys started daring each other to go into the drain, which was just large enough to allow a boy to stand upright, and there was a lot of pushing and shoving going on. But by now it was getting towards tea time, and groups of boys started to drift away, as pangs of hunger were felt. I did not believe that anyone, no matter how desperate they might be, would choose to hide in that land drain, as the stench was overpowering. As we walked homeward, Herbert said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And not waiting for a reply, he said, "I want to be a soldier." Derek butted in with, "I'm going to be a professional footballer." And Peter, not raising his sights so high, said, "I want to be a scoutmaster." All three then looked at me, and when I said that I was going to be a teacher, they fell about laughing. Strangely, all four of us achieved our goals. Peter Curtis became a scoutmaster, Derek Lithgow had a long career in league football, and Herbert Braithwaite went into the army at 17. Sadly, he was killed in Ireland 4 months later. As for my becoming a teacher, that too came about. It just took me a little longer. The story of the German parachutist was typical of the rumours that spread like wildfire during the war. No one knew who started them or why, but at least on this occasion it gave us a lot of fun and excitement. Thinking of Herbert Braithwaite after all these years, I remember his funeral, which was attended by an honour squad in full dress uniform. After they had fired a salute of 6 guns over his grave, my mother turned to me and said, "Herbert would have liked that." "Aye," I said, "he would."